first of all, as you can see, I'm doing this on the legislative agenda, and I was probably chosen for that because I'm actually working in Congress now. And I think it says something by the fact that this item is actually on this agenda, because obviously for the last 13 years you wouldn't even have bothered putting anything on an agenda for a legislative agenda. Before I get into the meat of it, let's just look at who the players are. I work for the Education and Labor Committee, which, as you can see, is headed by George Miller. That's in the House of Representatives. Over in the Senate, we're talking about the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. Now, the Senate is, you know, more closely divided than the House, so they have to be a little bit more bipartisan, which is why you have both Mike Enzi, who's the ranking member, and Ted Kennedy, who's the chairman, on their website. And then the subcommittees in the House that works primarily on health and safety issues is the Workforce Protection Subcommittee, and in the Senate is the Subcommittee on Employment and Workplace Safety. Now, I should mention there are a number of other committees that do work on health and safety issues. The Transportation Committee, for example, just passed a very good transportation safety bill that has a lot of language in it that might be useful in the future when we're thinking about revising the Occupational Safety and Health Act. And there are other committees as well that deal with, peripherally, with health and safety issues. Before I actually get into the issues, though, let me talk a little bit, a couple of words on what I'm doing here. Again, the title of this is the OSHA Legislative Agenda in the New Congress and the New Administration. Now, we actually are in the new Congress. We haven't quite gotten to the new administration yet. Hopefully that will happen, actually next year we won't be able to. Maybe in 2 years we can talk about what the actual agenda is for the new administration. But the purpose here, and the purpose in Congress right now, obviously, given the situation in the Senate particularly, where they basically need 60 votes to pass anything, and the situation in the White House, which, you know, where the president still holds and is increasingly using the veto pen, we're not going to be having many Rose Garden signing ceremonies over the next year. So the ultimate plan, the ultimate idea now in terms of the legislative agenda, is really to spend a lot of time using oversight hearings, legislation, that type of thing, to not only educate Congress about the issues that workers are concerned about, their health and safety, but also educate the American public, obviously. Using, you know, legislation, using oversight hearings, oversight over OSHA, NIOSH, to a certain extent, where they intersect Department of Homeland Security, other agencies as well, you know, CDC, obviously, a number of other agencies that affect workplace safety and health. Legislation, again, I'll talk about that, but we are moving some legislation along, and we may move some more along next year. Again, not necessarily, I mean, it'd be not great if we could get some of this passed by the Senate and signed, but again, to a certain extent, we're trying to raise issues, trying to educate Congress, trying to educate the American public, and shine a light on the problems that American workers are facing in this country, which has been increasingly rare, anybody out there to shine the light, except for a few journalists out there that are willing to do that. Let me just talk about some of the issues that we're dealing with. Popcorn lung, the whole issue of diacetyl, which I think you're probably all aware of, and which, you know, those of us in this community have been aware of for the last 7 years, but really didn't come to the public consciousness until recently when there was a consumer case. Now, I think, Frank mentioned that, you know, OSHA isn't doing a whole lot lately. Well, actually, we've seen a little bit of activity there, a little cause and effect. Cause here, we actually held a hearing last April on why OSHA isn't issuing standards, basically. One of the highlights of the, you know, of the hearing was we invited Eric Peoples, who is a victim of bronchiolitis obliterans caused by diacetyl, worked in a popcorn factory, and as you can see, Ed Folk, Assistant Secretary of Labor. Now, 2 hours before this hearing started, OSHA issued a press release announcing a focus on health hazards of diacetyl. This was the press release. The actual program wasn't inaugurated for another 2 or 3 months, I think, after this, but they did get the press release out right before our hearing. And then, amazingly, OSHA announced on September 24th, OSHA announced 3 more actions to protect workers exposed to butter flavorings, including rulemaking. So we have a very active OSHA here. Now, that was somewhat, we suspect, prompted by the fact that there was a vote scheduled 2 days later in the House of Representatives on requiring OSHA to issue a standard on diacetyl. OSHA's actions coming right before this, I think, were so blatant that it didn't even pass the Republican laugh test, evidenced by the fact that we did get 47 Republican votes on this bill, and even the ranking member of the Education and Labor Committee spent most of his talk expressing his frustration with OSHA for not doing anything, essentially, for the previous years and letting it come to the point where we actually had to pass legislation. He then reluctantly voted against it, but nevertheless, he did express his displeasure. Now, how much effect this has actually in industry, all the popcorn companies have said they're removing diacetyl from popcorn. On the other hand, we still have diacetyl in a number of other products and even new products, because this came out, you notice the date on that, 9/24/2007, 2 days before the vote, the same day OSHA issued its press release, Kraft announces a new butter flavoring containing diacetyl. But they're also going to have a version without diacetyl, because as you can see on the bottom, to some customers, diacetyl is not an issue. To others, it is. Of course, we would argue to all workers it is an issue. Some of the things, we've also been doing some activity on enforcement. Some of you may be aware that last March, a worker at Cintas was killed. Basically, it was trying to unblock a laundry conveyor and got dragged into an oven where he was, which was turned on. He wasn't discovered for another half an hour after that. We sent a letter right after that happened asking OSHA to do a nationwide inspection of Cintas because they had a number of other problems and even some citations around this. And we're pretty sure that may have led to the fact that OSHA just recently issued a $2.78 million fine against Cintas for this one case, as well as a number of other citations that have come since then, which was the biggest fine by far in the service industry in the history of OSHA. We held a hearing on the World Trade Center 911 rescue and recovery workers who were inhaling all of that stuff there, and although it was amazing to everybody, it actually had some health effects to inhale that dust. We had OSHA come in. We had the OSHA regional director, Pat Clark, come in from Region 2 in New York to talk about OSHA policy. And as you know, OSHA's come under quite a bit of criticism for not enforcing its standards during 9/11 and during Katrina then after that. And OSHA, you know, insists that actually they needed to work in partnership. There was no point in enforcing the standards. It's an ongoing debate, will continue to be an ongoing debate. We also had a worker there who's having serious health effects. Now, this is essentially the problem that I think OSHA has in this. This was, Mr. Nadler is not on our committee, but we allowed him to sit in and ask questions. And this was kind of one of the key questions. Congressman Nadler asked her whether, noting that she had said that, that a partnership was the key to their success, he asked her if she considered their actions at the World Trade Center site to be a success, and she said simply, "I do." Now, we, as Nadler pointed out, somewhat undiplomatically, but I'll point out a little bit more diplomatically, there is no real reason that OSHA couldn't say even we did everything we could or we possibly could or we were allowed to do or we thought of doing, but obviously there are some serious problems there that have evolved from this situation, and obviously we all need to work together deal with, address these problems and make sure they don't happen again instead of what really has been OSHA's policy and statements pretty much sums it up. We held a hearing on BP Texas City explosion that killed 15 people and 15 workers in March of 2005. So you may recall the Chemical Safety Board determined that BP had put profits over safety, and that OSHA had been doing almost no enforcement. In fact, in the previous 10 years, OSHA had not done a comprehensive inspection of even one refinery in the United States. OSHA, however, it's just a hearing. OSHA, however, claimed that they were doing a great job, and just to prove it, put out a press release right after that, and a couple months later announced a special enforcement program for refineries. Mine safety, I think you're all aware, SAGO, Carrandale Canyon recently, last year even passed the Miner Act, more activities this year, which I'll go into in a minute, I guess I'll go into right now. Future activities, the S Minor Act. We have a supplemental Minor Act that was just introduced recently. We just marked it up. This committee approved it pretty much on a party line vote. In fact, I think it was totally on a party line vote. And this again goes beyond the original Minor Act to do what's listed there. The most controversial part is it would require MSHA to upgrade the PELs that are within the Mine Safety Act, which are about the same level, SAD level, that they are in the OSHA Act. And that's what's been generating quite a bit of opposition, particularly from the Chamber of Commerce and NAM, as you might imagine. Record keeping is a major issue that we really want to go into, and I mean, I don't need to go into that very much now, but there's more and more evidence being assembled that the boasts that OSHA continuously makes about how injuries and illness are going down are not true, and that there's an incredible amount of underreporting, and there are a number of reasons for that, all the way up to the way OSHA keeps statistics, to the fact that they're essentially taken on a voluntary basis to worker intimidation. We see something, one example of that here. The recent rail safety bill, by the way, that was passed had some excellent language in it prohibiting intimidation of workers or intimidating workers against reporting injuries or pressuring workers not to seek medical treatment. Katrina, we want to do more or less continue the 9/11, really look at the relationship between OSHA and DHS in national emergencies, what kind of authority OSHA has, what kind of authority DHS has, how they're working together, what kind of importance we're not very happy about, where worker protection is in the current National Response Plan or National Response Framework, as it's now called, and we will be looking into that. Ergonomics, obviously, we need to look into, seems to send shivers of fear through the whole corporate community every time I mention the word. But in fact, the evidence is that OSHA hasn't even done what it promised to do in terms of doing. It's done almost no enforcement. It really has done no enforcement for 2 years. It did very little before that. I think there have been 17 citations in the whole Bush administration. They put out a very small number of guidelines, and we want to look at that. We want to look at some of the, especially the high risk areas, healthcare workers, meat processing workers, that type of thing. Really. Kind of look at what's going on, what's not going on. We don't have much hope of probably passing any legislation, although there has been some introduced, but again, it's in the spirit of oversight and what's happening to American workers. Out of the Cintas situation, we're going to look at the enhanced enforcement program of OSHA, where OSHA is supposed to be, this came out of the McWain series that was done by Frontline in the New York Times several years ago, looking at how OSHA's ability and authority and willingness to address problems within large corporations that have a number of facilities across the United States, not just in federal OSHA states, but also in state plant states. This came up again. You may recall that recent five workers were killed in a hydroelectric plant in Colorado. The contracting company that actually employed the workers had a number of citations in California. This was, in Colorado. And we want to look at OSHA's ability to really go across those jurisdictional lines and really look at the corporations, really get to the root causes. Safety systems of these large corporations. Public employees, obviously. Yeah, we want to look at that. We did hold a hearing on public employee, the lack of public employee coverage, so that's another issue we want to possibly follow up on with legislation. We're going to continue looking at refineries and chemical plants. And I want to end with just looking at some of the obstacles to congressional action and how you all and workers in general can get involved. There's a general lack of information about how OSHA works or doesn't work, about health and safety conditions, injuries, fatalities that workers have, even in their districts. They don't know who's being killed in their district unless somebody sends them the articles. And every time I send people the articles, they've universally never heard of it. They don't know about it. It's always new news to them that workers are actually getting killed in their districts. Constituents aren't calling them up and bugging them about health and safety issues. And then, of course, you have the Chamber and NAM that oppose absolutely everything having to do with OSHA. And that has some effect. Even Democrats don't like to have the Chamber and NAM opposing them on every single issue. And so that does raise some problems there. Now, a lot of the industry associations are, however, perfectly willing to work with us, as Diastole is an example. One of the main regulated industry, the Food Extract Manufacturers, this Flavor Extract Manufacturers Association, was actually supporting the legislation. Finally, how to activate your congressperson. Let them know that there are major incidents and fatalities happening in their districts. Ask them what's being done about it. give them some suggestions. Get to know the local staff, you know, in your area, congressional staff, that you should be on a relatively familiar basis so that when something comes up, you know who to call. Invite them to speak at Workers' Memorial Day events. I would love, as a congressional staffer, to have 20 calls at the beginning of April saying, my God, I've been invited to a Workers' Memorial Day event. What do I talk about? What are the issues? Give them awards. That forces them to make speeches. And as I say, I always say, send them letters. And 10 people sending one letter each is better than one person sending 10 letters each, because one person sending 10 letters has looked like a nutcase, but 10 people sending one letter actually looks like a movement. So I will end there, and I'm going to end on the map. We actually, in order to kind of bring this home to congressmen and everybody, we are starting to plot workplace fatalities on a map, which you can find on our website. And if you, when you click on those little things, you actually get a little bit of information about what happened to the worker there. And we're trying to populate that right now. We're not trying to populate it by increasing, obviously, the number of events, but just trying to find the events that have already happened and make sure that everybody knows about it. And as I said, mostly they don't. So any information is